'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it.
Yeah.
Try to believe, though the going
Frank.
Gets rough, that you gotta
Frank.
Have it tough to make
Frank,
it.
Frank, Frank.
History repeats
Frank.
Itself.
Frank, 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 Fleming. Fleming. Fleming, Fleming.
Fleming.
You're the best. Frank Fleming, you are the greatest hero of all time. You're fat, but you're in shape to me. In the handicapped seats at Shea. You're not gay. I don't know. Sort of lame that you get to be fat and sit in the handicap seat. This is a Cat Figure Podcast, episode 61. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Who are you?
Tom McLaughlin.
Hey, Tom. So listen, guys. Listen, everyone listen. You're already listening. I don't need to say listen. The episode just started, and if we've already lost your attention, we should just kill ourselves. So I don't need to say listen, but listen up. We got great hypothetical Bellinger and Seager versus Judge and Sanchez and Votto versus Stanton and all these great things and quizzes to get to. But before that, we got to do two things. One is I'm going to ask Tom players who wore the number of which episode this is, number 61. And second, we got to talk about Frank Fleming's Twitter. But like I said, we'll back up. Hi, Tom. And who are some players who wore number 61, bro?
So 61, the greatest 61 of all time per Tom McLaughlin, as the source, is Levon Hernandez, the pitcher who came over from Cuba. He's the brother of El Duque. He won game 7
Wait,
for the Marlins.
Wait, who is El Duque? What is El Duque's real name?
Orlando Hernandez.
Orlando
So this
Hernandez.
Is Levon.
Ah.
It's his brother, and they both make their mom proud. So then other 61s, we have Chan Ho Park, Bronson Arroyo, Josh Beckett.
Oh, Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah, I was saving that one in my back pocket. And then for Yankee fans, the name Ted Lilly. Just throwing that out there.
Bronson Arroyo put me on to the greasy hair, having the grip ball stuff. He was the first player I noticed. It was like, yo, you can't really wear your hair that greasy when you're not pitching.
Right.
And he doesn't. He looks like he put it, I don't know what it is. But, all right, bro. So, great list. Cool. You know, like you've said before, it keeps getting worse, right?
It keeps getting worse. You know, in my mind, I guess I was waiting for a turnaround, you know, but we really took it for granted when we were in the 20s, the 30s, even into the mid 40s. This list is just going to continue to get worse until we get to the greatest player of all time,
well,
number 99.
Right, and I didn't understand it when Mike Francesa, when I heard the great God Mike Francesa say about Travis d'Arnaud, oh, that's bullshit. He's going to win number 7? I didn't know what he was getting at, but now I do. All right, bro. So, Frank Fleming is a fat guy who's a Mets fan who got famous for, sort of got famous for being on the news in New York City. There's horrible New Jersey transit issues around opening day and still going on because they're the worst fucking
right.
public transportation company or organization in the world, maybe, besides the Indian traffic lights that don't exist.
Anyway, yeah, he missed Mets opening day and threw a legitimate temper tantrum.
Legitimate being the key word. He was very genuinely upset,
yeah,
screaming.
New Jersey Transit, as he picks up his hat and holds it in the air, is the worst. And
right.
he has a Mike Piazza Mets shirt with buttons on it from like all of the opening days, a hat, suspenders, and the belt that doesn't actually close the pants. But, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm really ripping on this guy because I love him.
Right.
He makes Twitter worth it to me.
Well, this is why we're bringing him up, because Tom, who's on Twitter, showed me. We went to the Mets game, and he said, yo, you got to check out Frank Fleming's Twitter. It's the reason to be on Twitter. And I go on, and lo and behold, I see one of the many themes he does is he tweets a photo of his meal, every meal of the day, right?
Yep.
And they get lots of action and lots of comments, but for example, see, what makes them so amazing is because there's many people who tweet out their, like, ghetto sushi meal, and they think that it's interesting or they're eating fancy and that
or, like,
we care.
Girls on Instagram make a meal. Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah, like, look at this.
So here, exactly. They cook regular stuff and make a meal. Frank Fleming, for example, one day ago, he don't play that. He tweeted out a photo, I guess, at his desk at work of a Mountain Dew, a bologna sandwich, just plain on white bread in a plastic bag, and a bag of Fritos. And it gets 163 likes and lots of comments. Another meal he had recently was an entire box of fish sticks on a plate. The entire box.
And he writes, "Gone fishing."
Yeah. And somebody, and then a lot of them are conversation starters. Like one, he made tater tots and fries and a cheeseburger, right?
That's
and
his go-to carbs, is he mixes a bag of tater tots and fries.
And somebody wrote like, and Frank Fleming wrote on the caption, he goes, "Tater tots, fries, burger, and Coke with real sugar." And somebody writes like, "Gotta keep those insulin levels in check. Way to go on the real sugar." But people will ask him questions like, and he'll answer a Q&A seriously. It's like, "Hey, Frank, how do you cook your tater tots? Do you put them in the oven and then microwave them or not?" And he's like, "Nah, just straight out the oven." Like,
yeah, are you worried about them not getting crisp enough?
Yes.
No, 20 minutes at 350. Yo, I know it works.
It's amazing. And what makes it so good is we don't know if he's knows he's being laughed at or not. I'm sure he does. But then another comment was, what did he write? Somebody said, "Hey, Frank, do you ever eat any kind of fish? I know you have catfish." He goes, "Only type of fish I like is with a yellow fisherman on the box." And then 2 days later, he has an entire box for dinner. So big shout outs to Frank Fleming. He's what? At NJTank99 on Twitter.
Yep.
And ask him your food questions. He puts butter on his meals and he doesn't rub them in. This is a long banter on Frank, but he's our boy. All right, Tom.
And he's running dangerously low on Wawa iced tea.
Yeah, somebody saw in the background in one of his photos, he had less than a sip of the jug that I guess he drinks out of or pours it into a Met souvenir cup of iced tea. And multiple comments were like, "Oh my God, Frank, you're running dangerously low on iced tea." And he's like, "Nah, don't worry, I got more." He has salt all over the table in one of them. He made tater tot fry combo, and there's salt like in a double the radius around his plate on the table around him. It's insane.
He's just making it rain salt everywhere.
He has ripped open bags of Burger King and puts a photo like it's a real meal, like he's a stupid girl on Twitter. All right. Anyway, so what we're going to do is a game. It's called Would You Rather, but it's not the normal, like, would you rather, like, fight a bear or 500 pigeons that I used to play. Would you rather be a Houston Texans fans or have no penis? Stuff like that. It's not that. It's like, would you rather, if you're starting a franchise, the Tom McLaughlin franchise and the Ryan DePaul franchise are being started, and we axing or asking if you're white, who would you rather have? And it's some propositions. The first of which is going to be Joey Votto versus Mike Stanton. Do you want to, did I include all the parameters before I give you their contract details?
So yeah, I thought about this a little. I think a few things just to clear up. We are considering this, we're starting a franchise today. Our ultimate goal either to win or
to
make
money.
It's whatever
we want.
Either or both.
Yeah, okay. You could be George Steinbrenner and want to just win. I could be the Pirates and just want to make money.
Another thing is players that we mentioned, we're not considering what ballpark they currently play in. We would be opening a new ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
With, you know, because that makes a difference, right?
No, that is irrelevant. Yeah, let's say a league average ballpark and a league average weather.
Right, because, you know, position players for the Yankees have sort of an advantage over position players from the Dodgers because of the short porches.
Right.
So, yeah, I think those are the parameters. We'll just assume everything else is sort of, like, every other variable is held constant.
Yeah. All right, so here's the first one. It's, like we teased before, Joey Votto and Giancarlo Stanton, which I think is really interesting, obviously, because they're both having a great year, but they're both at different points in their career,
yes.
And they're both at two of the top 5-10 deals of all time,
right?
Both of them are on mega contracts. So here's the details for each. Joey Votto's 33, and he's making $25 million a year for the next 6 years through his age 39 season. He's turning 34 in a couple days, but he has a full no-trade clause. Again, he's 33, $25 million a year until age 39. Giancarlo Stanton is 27, and he's signed to the biggest deal in baseball history. He signed through 2027, which will be his age 37 season, at like between $25 and $32 million a year. He has a player option after his age 30 season, but as of now, there's no way he's going to opt out. But you can debate that with me. But those are their contract situations. Both are having a really good season. Votto's having a much better season, but Votto's 33. How do you start to attack this? Who you going to take?
Yeah, very difficult question. I'm going to pick Stanton, although I think Votto is the better player. As you mentioned, there are a few buckets that I put this into. So first bucket is on-field performance, which includes track record up to this point, current statistics. Then we have, you know, the personal qualities. So let's.
I told you you're not allowed to bring them buckets in my house anymore, Tom.
No more buckets.
You need a hat.
I'm going to make you shower. So I'm going to put them in hats. So the second one is personal qualities. So that's, you know, age. That also includes marketability of the player. And then the third one is obviously the contract. And what the, you know, the financial ramifications or what that would do to how I would build the rest of my team.
Yeah.
So in that case, it's like, you know, would I rather allocate a ton of money to this position or would it be this position? So I picked Stanton.
Why?
Think Votto is currently the better player. I picked
Stanton.
You just
said that, bro. Tell me why Stanton. I don't want to hear your justification for this horrendous move.
So I picked Stanton because a couple of reasons. One, we're finally seeing what he does when he's healthy, and the rate he's slugging this season, I think, is something that he will be able to maintain as long as he stays healthy. I think that's a big question mark, but I will.
You think it's a big question mark if he'll be able to stay healthy?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been a fragile player. It's funny for somebody who's built like a fucking centaur.
Yeah.
Like he has a giant butt and thighs, no homo. But yeah, no, he just hit. He now, early August 2017, has hit the most home runs of his career yet. And there's a guy who's won an MVP and signed the biggest contract in baseball history.
Yes.
At 38, which is surprising for somebody with that much power. And you see dominate the home run derby, da-da-da-da-da.
Also, another huge factor for me in this, well, there were two other huge factors.
Just one, say them. Don't with the intros.
One is the marketability. I think Votto really doesn't have that sort of like it factor that would be able to get fans into the stands.
That is so disgustingly racist against Canadians that I am expecting multiple letters
from the Canadian government.
Yeah, Joey Votto's Canadian, Rangers. Dude. That is not cool. And how do you how can you think a douchebag who named himself Giancarlo is more marketable than clean-cut, nice Canadian Joey Votto?
Well, the proof is there, right? Because the Marlins are about to sell for, what is it, $1.4 billion. The biggest factor in that valuation was the local cable deal that they just signed. And the reason that they got such a high figure on that cable deal was the number one reason literally was because they locked down Stanton.
Yeah, I believe that.
Now, we don't know. You know, it depends where my franchise is opening up. I think Stanton has a certain marketability.
Well, you tell me. Pick a city and we're both there.
So we'll go with Miami.
Where doesn't he have marketability? In the smart people cities where a trashy douchebag like him who goes to clubs and T-shirts doesn't go over well?
Well, I think he has a certain marketability in Florida and the Latino states. I don't even. Is he Latino? I'm not sure.
He looks it, but he's just he has a faux hawk. He's like a douchebag.
Yeah, so like South
the
Florida,
douchebag states. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Southern California. So I think he has
even
that marketability.
Philly, like the South Jersey Guido.
He can put fans in the stands. He can get you sort of that buzz around the team.
Why? Just because he hits home runs or because he's younger or because he has the most, he could be the biggest power hitter in baseball?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a combination of all those factors.
All right, well, what about the money? Whose contract do you think is worse? Like, just contract-wise. Marketability, that's a fair reason, blah, blah, blah. Votto, I think, will be better at the end of his deal than Stanton will be, but because I think that having an eye, which is Votto's greatest quality, is the ability to get on base. You know, he leads baseball and walks every year nearly, is more sustainable than power. Obviously, though, I understand Stanton's 27, Votto's 33, but in the later years of these deals, not only is Votto a little cheaper, but I think he'll be more productive. How soon, what year do you think Stanton's deal will suck? Like at what age season? He's in his age 27 season now. Definitely there'll come a year. Like, I highly doubt that he'll be 34 and worth $30 million, unless you do you think that?
I would say around his age 34 season, there will be a significant regression.
When will it stop being worth the money is what I'm asking.
Probably 34.
Okay. So then you'd have to pay him, you're saying, for 34, 35, 4 years at a bad price.
So You mentioned the opt-out clause. What year does he have that player option to opt out?
His age 30 season, so after 2020. So, yeah, it would be entering his age 31 season.
Right.
Go ahead.
So the contract also, too, is heavily backloaded, which is obviously not helpful for the case I'm trying to make. So I think we both agree he probably won't opt out. You know, I think he can go to the market at that point at age 31, and he'd probably be able to get a couple of extra years tacked on, but the average annual value will not justify giving up those extra years. So that's an important factor to kind of throw out there as well, because if Stanton were making, $325 million for what was it,
10 years, 11, 12, something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's starting this year is the first year he's making more than $15 million. It's between every year from now until the end of the contract is between $25 and $32 million.
Right. So, okay. The other big factor to me was if I'm starting a franchise team that is going to start to compete next year, I wanted to look at what alternatives I would have at each position. So Stanton, I can plug into either left or right field.
Uh-huh.
Votto can only be put at first base. He could potentially be a DH if I were an American League team. But in this free agent market, we have players like Hosmer, Yonder Alonso. So I'm more confident I'd be able to fill the first base position.
I don't know. Corner outfield is also deep. We got Jay Bruce. I don't know. I mean, not in a great way. Who else? We got Jay Bruce. What's his name? J.D. Martinez, right?
Yeah.
We got Dickey Henderson, old Lefty Phillips. I'm making names up because I don't remember. But
old Lefty Phillips.
I don't know. But filling corner outfield, I think they're equally easy. I don't know. The reason you're wrong, and we'll go to the next one, is because I don't disrespect my fans like you, right? You think your fans are going to fall for some flashy home run hitting D-bag who wears t-shirts to clubs and Ed Hardy, but I know that my fan base, I respect them, unlike you, and they want a smart, sophisticated gentleman from Canada who's going to get on base, and they know that that's a better, more value statistic. Also, who you think's better in the locker room, a douchebag centaur or a Canadian, right? It's pretty clear to me.
Always the Canadian.
So, right, always you want Canadian. That's the old staple Tommy Lasorda instilled in me
and
years
ago.
You need Canadians in the locker room.
He gave a goat to Zach Cozart because he made the All-Star team this year, Joey Votto.
And he kept his word. He said, I'll buy you a goat if you make the All-Star team.
And he bought him a goat.
That's no Stanton's going to do that. What does Stanton get you? Louis Vuitton luggage or some ghetto shit?
Yeah.
Some hood stuff, like a running back gets his offensive line. All right, so I'm liking where I'm standing, my franchise versus yours. We got two expansion franchises. All right, so whatever. It's interesting, though. I understand what you're saying. You could say home runs are marketable, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And he's younger, but the contract is going to suck, I think, earlier. Like, there's way more bad years of paying Stanton than there are of paying Votto, right? And that's my number one reason, really, is that the Stanton deal is going to be crappier sooner than the Votto deal. Because it's easy to forget, Stanton's in the middle of maybe what will be the best year of his career. And, yeah, like you mentioned, he's pretty fragile. All right, so we'll go on. So next, bro, we got some young lads. Now you spent all your money on Stanton. I spent all my money on Votto, we'll say. Now I'll give you the choice. You can have Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager, who are both have 4 and 5 years left of team control, or maybe even 6 for Bellinger. We don't know. I don't know if he's Super 2 or not. Or you can have Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez. So you could have a catcher and a corner outfielder or a shortstop and a corner outfielder.
Yeah. I think the more I dig into this one, I think Bellinger and Seager is the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of reasons. One, Bellinger and Seager are both younger than Sanchez and Judge.
Okay.
But
that does that matter? The youth in and of itself? I just look at years of team control.
I hear you on that. I think age is more important, obviously, when you're talking about a player that has a long-term contract. But to me, what it signals is that these players, even though they're performing at a super high level right now, they have a little bit more of an upside potential because, you know, maybe they physically haven't fully put on the muscle yet. So it's not as big of a factor as it would be in the Votto versus Stanton discussion, but I think it certainly helps.
Yeah, I mean, well, I agree with you, and this sort of makes the segment whack, so I'll take the other side. I was assuming you would take the Yankee side, but yes.
You're busting my balls because I'm trying to pitch Stanton to my fans, and you're pigeonholing me as a Yankee homer. What do I look like here?
Well, look, I mean, I guess you're right. I guess you can't have too many douchebags on your team, you know. Look, man, Stanton aside, I don't know. You just confronted me, and I totally lost my train of thought, bro. Oh, here's what I was going to say. Gary Sanchez has sucked defensively lately, and he's looked not as great as he did earlier in the season. You know, at the beginning of the season, this was – and Judge has fallen off too, right? This was a closer race maybe a month ago, right?
Yep.
And on one hand, that seems silly, but we don't have that much data on these guys. Seager's got the most reps, and he's been amazing for 2 years. So he's the best player of the four because he's a shortstop, I think.
Yes.
Just Seager, Judge. You'd rather have Seager, obviously, right?
I agree.
And then how about, like, Bellinger or Gary Sanchez?
I would take Bellinger because...
Wow.
I think we look at his offensive numbers, but I went back and I read through a lot of his prospect reports, and every single one of them gave him on like a 20 or a 40 to 80 scale. He had a 75 in the fielding category. They said that he's like a slam dunk gold glove first baseman who also could potentially be a gold glove corner outfielder. Like, that is a huge factor as well. Excuse my voice. I think that gets overlooked with Bellinger, but he does provide a lot of value. He can play sort of a utility type role. And, you know, the Gary Sanchez defensive woes is a real concern.
Yeah.
He's had like 12 passed balls this year, which is the most in the major leagues.
It's crazy. And especially,
half the game.
Maybe it's harder for him because he's has so many great hard throwing bullpen dudes, but that's not an excuse. You're a catcher. You need to catch. That's the biggest factor. If he moves to first, he's average. Then he's Hanley Ramirez, you know, Gary Sanchez, the entire angle for why I would take Gary over Bellinger. And I still would is because even if you can get a little bit below league average catching defensiveness, it just getting that much offensive production out of catcher obviously is ridiculous. Also, I think Bellinger he's been great in a short time and better just on offense than Gary, but Gary's played a lot longer. You know, these guys, Judge and Bellinger, we really only have like two-thirds of a season, maybe roughly three-fifths of a season on them, right? Well, so Bellinger or Judge very well may not be as good as we think they are. They're probably going to be very good, but who knows if they're Jeff Francoeur or something.
I think you can also kind of throw Sanchez into that bucket as well because, what, he had 50 games last year. He's been injured for a considerable portion of this
year. I'm being biased because I'm thinking it's over the course of 2 years, but you're right. Just sheer number of games, they're the same. That's fair.
So I think overall, yeah, when I first asked you this question, I think it was right around the All-Star break, and we were both like, wow, this is, you know, there was a legitimately tough question to think about.
Well, you wanted Judge and Gary, yeah. Well, you said, I said Bellinger, Seager, you took Judge and Gary.
Yeah.
Glad you came to the light side.
So let's move on.
All right, bro.
What's our next one?
All right. We got Jason Hayward, who is 33, and he signed. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's not 33.
He turned 28.
Happy
birthday.
Happy birthday, Jason. He signed through his age 33 season at $21 million per season. Or you got Chris Davis on the Baltimore Orioles at $17 million a year through 2022, his age 36 season. So I don't know. I forgot how old that makes him now, like 32. This year, just for some barometer, Chris Davis is a 748 OPS. Hayward is a 710 OPS. Both have been disappointing and pretty instantly became bad deals right after they were signed. I guess the one pro for Hayward is that he's only signed through age 33 season. So if he can somehow stop sucking, there's a chance that like the odds are that the last years of the Chris Davis deal, the last four, are definitely favored to be worse than the last four of the Hayward deal, right?
Yes.
But today Hayward sucks worse than Davis offensively. So how are you going to make this case, dog?
Well, I think you kind of just laid out the case perfectly for me. You're mentioning offensively, Jason Hayward, we forget, has won four Gold Gloves the past 4 years in right field. In the 2014 and 2015 season, he was fifth overall in the NL in WAR among position players. He's only 28 years old, and I think really the critical factor that separates Hayward from Davis, in my point of view, is even if Hayward doesn't hit at all, which he didn't last year, he provides enough value to be at least an above-average player. He was on a Cubs team, and his defensive WAR in and of itself made up for the fact that he had, like, what was it, a 600 OPS last year. So
wait. You think he had a positive WAR last year?
I do.
He contributed? I'm going to look it up. Do you know that or no?
I'm not positive, but he won a Gold Glove, and he was...
I'm going to find out. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, that you want someone who can at least contribute in some way, but that's discrediting that Chris Davis contributes in some way. Yes, his strikeouts, even though one home run for every whatever it is, 20 at bats, if you strike out that much, is really doo-doo. That's not much of a contribution. But go ahead.
No, you know, I'm thinking about Davis here, and like you said, the strikeouts. He's top five in the AL in strikeouts every year since 2012, including 2 years where he led the league in strikeouts. I'll take that with the power numbers when he's on a good run, but you're looking at a player who his power has decreased year by year, and if you look at the later years of those deals, he's a player who really earns his money through power, and you know that's one thing you lose when you get older. So I think that the floor of both of these guys, I think Hayward has a stable floor where he can contribute in a way every day. Davis does not have that. And
but wait, why? Just by not sucking in the outfield, that's it? That's his whole...
Well, preventing runs is half the game.
Not in right field. So here's...
Well, right field is a position on the field.
But, okay, I want the best defensive DH. You know, right field, sure, it's a position on the field, but it's not... It's like... That's so... Having a right fielder who has a 700 OPS is not helpful. But maybe if he's amazing, because... He did have he was worth two wins last year, which surprises me. In 2016, he's worth 1.6. Here's Chris Davis' recent seasons. They're pretty up and down, but last year he was only worth 0.2 of a win. But in 2016, he's worth three wins, and in 2015, he's worth 5.2 wins. In 2014, he's worth 1.8, in 2013, 6.5. So, like, one, Chris Davis is cheaper, right? Two...
By how much?
By, what, 22, $4 million a year. And for one less season, right?
But he's 4 years older.
Yeah, he's 4 years older, but the power, I disagree with you about power falling off. I think speed, which is part of Hayward's ability to play defense, falls off quicker than power. Chris Davis can DH, right? If I'm, whatever, maybe not. But at least Chris Davis... Maybe here's my stand, right? Here's where I want the douchebag now that we're in the cheaper contracts. I know I'm going to end up with two first basemen, but don't you criticize my team building. Is that maybe I want the home runs. Jason Hayward is a hard sell to fans. Day one that he signed that contract, everybody's like, what the hell is this? Why are you giving him that much money? And it's like, well, the sabermetrics community says blah, 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 blah. So I'm pretty sure I just won this debate and you're wrong. No, I'm kidding. But do you have a last word, bro?
No, I mean, I get that you have to make a point for Chris Davis because I chose Hayward, but I think by any
conceivable
metric, like, I think that it's ridiculous to take a player who has one good part of his game that has gotten worse over time.
It's the same with Hayward. He has one good part of his game that's gotten worse over time.
But he's the best in the league at that thing, and he also
has... Chris Davis has been the best at power in the
league. But Hayward has upside in all of the other areas. Davis does not. Davis will never be a good fielder. He'll never be a good runner.
They're converting Davis to shortstop. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Manny Machado is going to ride the bench.
Yo,
Davis is going to play short and third at the same time.
Fine, the upside is fair, and I guess because of his age, but they both have one thing they do well, and both are getting worse at it. Chris Davis's better seasons have been better than Hayward's better seasons. Well, not, I don't know. It's close.
But the regression curve is going to hit Davis much sooner in the life of the contract because Hayward is 4 years younger,
yes,
even though he has 1 year longer through the deal.
That's fine. Okay, what if they were signed to the same age? What if they were both going to be signed till age 36? Then I think you have to take Chris Davis because then Hayward definitely going to fall off faster with his defense and speed. You want Alex Gordon? You're going to have Alex Gordon on your team, man. You're going to have a defensive corner outfielder who can't hit. I'd rather have, like, Kendrys Morales or you know, somebody like that. That he's a little better than Chris Davis, but I'd rather have Mitch Moreland than Alex Gordon, right?
That's fair, but Alex Gordon was at one time a very good player.
Same with Hayward, bro.
He still is a good player. He was 2 wins last year, and he had a 600 OPS.
Yeah,
he won a gold glove 4 years in a row.
That's a bad thing to me. All right, bro. You just hate Chris Davis and the strikeouts, and I hate Hayward and his beard. All right, yo, so that's it. I win. Your team sucks. No, I'm kidding. I'm surprised. I really thought you might take Vada just because – but I guess I hate Stanton more than you, maybe because he's in the Mets division. All right, so now what we're going to do, dog, is I'm going to – quiz you, sort of, right? All right, I'm gonna read you a player's stats from this season who's surprising. I'm gonna say, like, who am I, Tom? Who might I be? All right, you ready for this?
Go. Yeah.
So this dude, all right, wait, maybe I'll talk as him. I's a hitting 291. No, that's really racist. I's a hitting 291, and I got 23 home runs, 69 RBIs, and 10 steals. My OPS is 905 compared to my career OPS is 871. So I'm a dude, but in all non-racist voice. All racist voice aside, here's my pitch, bro. So I'm having a really good year. Don't cheat and look up the numbers. But I'm someone who's had a great career, clearly, with an 871 career OPS. This year, 905. Do you have any? Where are you? I can keep narrowing it down, but
yeah,
to walk me through it.
I think you got to at least give me the position.
So here's another clue. No, I'll work through the clues. I've been either the best or close to the best player in my league before. That's a big clue. So probably means top or top couple in MVP voting before.
Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, exactly. That's too big of a clue. No, that's
a
good guess.
That wasn't edited. So for everyone
Dude,
out there.
Dude, that was good. That was good. I didn't give you the position. I just said that. Andrew McCutchen, man. Who knew? It's sort of cheating because he hit 3 home runs in a game recently, and that, like, skews his OPS. And I hate it when players hit 3 home runs in a game and then their numbers get good. Like Scooter Gennett or somebody.
4, yeah.
Yeah, dude, it pisses me off. But he's having a really good year, and it's funny that he didn't get traded and that the trade talks fell down, especially that he's having such a good year.
Yeah.
Maybe teams are afraid, though. So I have another one. You do yours. You quiz me, and then I'll give you the other one I got.
Okay. Cool. So I'm a starting pitcher this year. I have a 2.91 ERA, a 1.069 WHIP, 162 strikeouts in 139 innings. I've made 22 starts.
Jeff
14
Samardzija?
Of which are quality starts. Get out of here.
I don't know. I need another clue. Like, what league?
American League.
American League. Chris Archer?
No.
What division?
Same division.
Okay.
That should make it considerably easier.
Yeah, but Severino?
Yep.
Yeah, that's your boy. Only because it's you. I might have not thought of him. That's amazing. What's his whip?
1.069 WHIP, 2.91 ERA.
That is underrating. We've talked about how amazing he is. He's like fifth in baseball in every stat. You know,
he just turned 22.
Dude, well, you're ageist, clearly, by our. You're hating on Joey Votto and Chris Davis. You're too much for the future. And you know what the future got me as a Mets fan? Nothing. When we were in the World Series, everybody said, don't worry about it. You'll be here again.
You TJ Rivera.
You could let Daniel Murphy go. You know, and we don't need Justin Turner. We got youth on our side. All right. Yo, so here. All right. Here's my guy, bro. If I say all right one more time, end the show.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. Here we are.
All right.
I'll say this in a Boston accent just for fun because I don't do it. So my record is 7-6, even though that's a retard stat. My ERA is 4.05. I pitch in the AL. In 115 innings pitched, I've got 111 strikeouts. My K's per nine are 8.64. And I'm 36 among all pitches in WAR at 2.2. The thing is, here's the other clue. I don't know if you have any sense of a clue as is, do you? Where are you thinking right at the moment?
Well, I was thinking Yu Darvish, but he's not in the AL anymore, obviously.
Right, and so here, this may help you narrow it down. My team actually doesn't really like me. I'm not on good terms with my spot, sort of. That's the clue. Despite these lines.
Okay.
2.2 WAR, a lot of strikeouts.
WAR doesn't help that much for pitchers. Is he in the American League West?
No.
Central?
No.
East?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so...
My team wants to change me. My team wants me...
Oh, Rick Porcello?
Close. I mean, not
David Price?
Another team. My team wants me to go...
Archer?
To the bullpen.
Oh. Is he on the Blue Jays?
Nah, he's on the Yankees.
Sabathia?
No.
Jordan Montgomery?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he just got demoted to the minor leagues.
Even worse.
Yeah.
Sorry to fuck up the clue with the bullpen thing.
Okay.
That messed you up, but yeah. He's better than everybody on your rotation. Why send him to the minors? That's bullshit.
He's the second best starting pitcher. I think that
such bullshit. I didn't realize how I knew he'd been sort of good, but I didn't know he'd been that much better.
And that got the 4 ERA got inflated because I think about 2 or 3 starts ago he gave up like I think maybe 8 runs.
He did. He also left the game with runners on base, and then another guy let them in and stuff. They pulled him. Fucked me in FanDuel.
He was pitching. He was a legitimate number 2 starter. I think they're concerned because he never pitched more than 130 innings in a year, but if I were him, I would legitimately be very angry about that.
Me too. He doesn't have much stamina, which I understand, but that, you know, what's great news is that was Severino's. That's a good problem to have, maybe, is that saying... Like, it actually is a great problem to have because you look at, and I can't believe I'm about to make a real argument based on this, but when you're playing MLB The Show on PlayStation, if a guy has good stamina, it's like, who cares? Innings eater, right. Schminnings meter, pinning Peter.
Especially in the playoffs, it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, quality innings, bro. If he gives you 5 innings, which is more and more happening, I mean, that's way better than I thought he was. I'm sorry I messed you up with the bullpen,
dog. No, that's okay.
I can't believe Jaime Garcia is going to take Jordan Montgomery's spot.
Unbelievable.
What is this goddamn world coming to, Girardi, idiot? I don't think Brian Cashman did that for that.
It's unbelievable. And you know,
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Especially because you just traded for Jaime Garcia, too.
Right, like, right. It's not like you had him.
Put him in the bullpen. All right, so I got one more for you, if you're interested.
It's pronounced Jaime Garcia. All right, yeah, go on.
Okay. I'm a third baseman. I have a 910 OPS.
Dickie Johnson, go on.
24 home runs, 75 RBI.
No, no, no.
Along with 9 stolen bases. No.
9-10 OPS, blah, 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 blah. That's a lot of RBIs. That's, like, got to be close to the top of baseball. Jose Ramirez?
One of the top, no.
He's playing second, I think, this year, right? I don't know. What league?
National League.
Da-da. Cock. Anthony Rendon?
Nope.
I hate him. Give me another vague clue.
He was traded this past offseason.
Traded this past offseason, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I can't think of third basemen who were traded this offseason. Am I in the NL West?
Nope.
East?
Nope.
It's the other one?
Yeah.
The NL.
I'll give you a clue that'll pretty much give it away. He was traded to make room for Panda.
Why am I retarded right now?
Travis Shaw.
Jesus, yep. Christ. I can't believe it. That's crazy, dude. I forget. Again, like multiple times I look at the stats and I'm like, oh, wow, Travis Shaw's having a great season. And then I forget. And then I just didn't even think of him. I was like, who's having a breakout season at third base?
I have him on my fantasy team, and it took me like a month after I picked him up.
To start
he
him?
He had like a 950 OPS for a while, and I was like, I can't start this guy. Like, the drop-off is coming. And then, like, now he's obviously my third baseman, but I still can't believe the statistics when I look at it.
To make room for Panda, that's crazy. Panda. Hanley and Panda in one offseason. That's got to be, like, the duo trifecta, whatever.
It's like a double-decker.
A dufecta. What's a dutyfecta of bad contracts, like.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was, they were both signed by the previous GM of the Red Sox. I think his name is Ben Cherington.
Yeah,
so.
Dick face ass.
But he did put together a good farm system for Dombrowski to just go blow every, like, the Red Sox farm
system is
garbage right now. They've traded a lot of very good players away.
Well, you know, to be fair, entering the season, and even now, they're one of the favorites in the A. I mean, to trade your whole future, you really would like to be the favorite, but they couldn't have known that when they signed David Price. But people didn't like the deal right off the rip, right? I mean, did you with David Price? Obviously, Sale, I love that they could have three lefties. It's kind of cool. Pomeranz, Parcello had a great year last year.
Sale is a great deal. The Travis Shaw deal, I think, really... It gets overlooked. They got back a relief pitcher, Tyler Thornburg, who had one good season in his career, who has yet to pitch for them because he was injured before he was traded. So he was like, he had a serious injury, and the Red Sox traded Travis Shaw for him, who hasn't pitched yet. You're giving away, like...
Well, they couldn't have known. He wasn't that this good. They were thinking the same thing as you, like him on the bench, like, oh, I can't start him.
To be fair, last year, his first half of the season, he was an all-star player,
yeah.
And then he had a minor injury, and he fell off greatly.
True that. All right, I have no idea why.
So we got a visitor. We got a visitor. Here, is it Mike?
I have no idea. Hold on, I'm going to pause this. So it was my dad calling the doorman of the building because I wasn't answering my phone while we was recording the podcast to see if I'm coming to dinner. All right. Sorry about that. But we're about done anyway. Travis Shaw, Panda Hanley. That was crazy. It's, you know what? You know who's like that now is the stupid-ass Blue Jays are the other example of a team like just depleting, going for it, and then it's like what you got left. Donaldson, I mean, he's declined. Bautista's both declined. They let Edwin walk. Tulowitzki, though, blows donkey cock.
You know, we thought that deal, we're like, why do the Rockies want Jose Reyes? And it was basically a contract dump on both sides.
Yeah, yeah. That is what it was. It's
and
crazy.
The Rockies got, Jeff Hoffman?
I don't remember. I don't know. Yeah, they got some other piece, and they got to get rid of, right, they got to get rid of Tulo. But... the thing is like, I wonder if, because Jose Reyes didn't do that good. Trevor Story's not as good. Maybe certain guys, for whatever the effects are at Coors, maybe some guys do better at Coors than others. Maybe it's not all equal. Maybe not everybody gets the same boost. I mean, I'm sure everybody does, like, fantasy-wise, like FanDuel or whatever. They're all projected to do the same. They all get the same bump, but...
right.
Tulowitzki's been bad, man. He's really, it's amazing that he was MVP candidate, or they were talking about the Mets getting him for all the last couple
that.
Years when, and on a $25 million, whatever it is, million-dollar deal, and now the Blue Jays are just not that good.
No.
And Stroman is a ground ball pitcher. If your ace is a ground ball pitcher, you could eat a 5'9 ground ball pitcher. You could get the fuck out of my face, really. Don't
garbage.
Disrespect me with that.
Straight garbage.
Stroman, I'll fight you one-on-one. Come here. I live on 71st Street in Manhattan.
All right, so
you want to tell him your address too?
What else do we got? Yeah,
that's it. We're done.
Okay.
Why? What else you got?
No, well, we had that other one, which was, you know, David Price versus Tanaka.
Oh yeah, we were pitching ideas about what other of the who would you rather take on your team, bad contracts and good, and then David Price and Tanaka came up. And
so how about we do this? You guys tweeted us or leave a comment on the site. What other this or that you'd like us to do, and we'll take care of it next time.
Yeah, bro. Jeff Samardzija or Johnny Cueto. No, I don't know. All right. Bye. Thank you.